New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen in studio, Bill Bush with us from afar in a hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. Bill, can you hear us?
019er, yes.
Oh, we can hear Bill. Can you hear Bill, Sip?
I did hear a little bit of that,
yeah,
yes.
You can hear him now. You hear him now?
Yes.
He's good. It's our first time being like this where, you know, Bill's not here. We're in studio. It's fine. It's a Monday, though, and we're happy because Nebraska football is 5-1. Sip, how are you on this fine Monday morning?
Doing fine, Jake. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Bill, how are things in Tennessee?
Great. The weather's outstanding. The city is ridiculous.
Tell us about
it. A lot of stories from here.
Tell us about yourself. Tell us about yourself.
About myself. Just in general life. Well, yeah. Should I start from elementary school or just more from the
weekend? Start from elementary school.
This town is just ridiculous. The amount of music you get to hear, it's just live bands everywhere. We had you go to breakfast and there's live bands playing. You go to lunch, there's live bands playing. It's quite a scene, and it was also quite a scene being here for the in town for the Vanderbilt upset.
Have you located the goalpost at all in your time there since they have left the stadium?
Have not seen the goalpost. I did mention to my wife Saturday night later on that it appeared as if no one remotely knew that there even was a game played at Vanderbilt that day, because there was just there's such an influx from across the country into Nashville. But I did get a picture with one guy. I saw him had a Vandy shirt on, his Vandy hat on. And I asked him, I said, were you at the game? He said, oh, absolutely not. He said, I live here and I had a Vanderbilt shirt. And my wife told me to put my shirt on and go down to Broadway as soon as possible.
Well, that's smart thinking right there.
Yes.
Vandy.
So, yeah, it was the interesting part was seeing all the other. Now, when I say that people didn't know at the Vanderbilt win, there was a ton of Alabama fans everywhere. We actually watched the game with a couple sitting right next to us as we watched. We were watching the Nebraska game, that game at the same time, and they were from Alabama and they were at the game and they left at halftime because it was too hot.
Was Vandy on? Was Vandy on at the same time as Nebraska?
Yeah, same time, right? I
think was it?
Yes.
2:30 game.
Nebraska about a half hour later, I think.
Oh, it was later.
Nebraska was a later game.
That was a 2:30 kick.
Anyway, it was pretty close. They were all on at the same time in this huge sports bar. So there was 9 games on to watch at one time. So it was kind of fun.
Well, that's great. And you were in the city of the epic upset of the day. There's several upsets we'll get to later on the show. It was a very hectic weekend in college football, but Nebraska avoids the loss here in Lincoln.
What about the Dolphins? Talk about the Dolphins.
Nope, that's tomorrow. The Dolphins did win. I failed to call that a win. They played horrible, but they won the game.
But you got nice quarters.
You can't wear this.
You texted in Dolphins win.
They did win. Listen, they're going to go 4-13 this year. I'll have 4 times to wear this jacket.
Nice.
So I'm wearing it today.
Bill,
even though it was a horrible win, they won the game.
Can you see, Bill, can you, this is awkward, but can you see Bill Can you see his?
I'll zoom out of here in a second. I got the double shot.
I have
right
quite
now.
A view from here. Actually, yeah, I can see very well.
He can see young Ben back there, too.
This is a good, that's a good quarter. Yes.
Yeah, they won.
Who did the Dolphins beat?
They beat the Patriots 15-10.
That's the pass.
It was a horrible game. Special teams was bad in the first half for Nebraska Rutgers in the third quarter. It was worse than the Dolphins game. The long snapper rolled the snap to the holder, and they couldn't get the ball kicked off. It rolled. It rolled the whole way there. The snapper had to duck and just take the hit. He got absolutely smoked. And then they also had a punt blocked in the first half.
What else?
They had a 41-yard kick hit the left upright. This is the NFL. These are professionals. In college, I'll give you a pass. This is the NFL.
That's real world.
Jason Sanders is paid very handsomely to be a good kicker. Jake Bailey is paid handsomely to be a punter. And I'm sure the snapper is paid well to be a snapper.
Yeah. Who is your snapper? You don't know your snapper.
Blake Ferguson.
God, you know everything.
Blake Ferguson had a bad snap to the kicker. Dolphins won the game. It was ugly, but...
Where was this game?
It was in Foxborough.
God, they won in Foxborough?
On the road,
I thought you'd won
with Tyler Huntley at quarterback.
I thought you'd want to talk about that.
No.
It's a big win.
It was... any win is big in the NFL. We all know it's difficult to win. They're all professionals, but that was ugly. Sip, anything for you for idle chit-chat from yesterday or the weekend?
Not really. I mean, I did see Ben briefly in the press box.
Did he address you at all? Did he acknowledge you?
I think, Ben, what happened? I thought we were going to eat lunch, and then you just darted off. I think he didn't want to stand in line. The line was exceptionally long. So I stood there by myself around people I didn't know. I thought you would be there, but that's fine.
Unbelievable.
What was lunch? What'd you have for lunch?
Oh, it was... Bill, it was. I thought it was good. Everybody was complaining about it, but it was barbecue chicken sandwiches. You applied your own barbecue sauce out of a packet, and it was cheesy potatoes, which I mixed with my salad. I'm not big on cheesy potatoes, but I mixed it with my salad, and it wasn't bad, with a lot of Dorothy Lynch, and so it was good. I liked it. It was a great. I think it's free. I mean, it's free. It's free
Does
food.
Keith Mann also do the menu?
No, I don't think so. God, that's a great question.
He could have.
I'd like to imagine he does, but I don't think. I actually think he has nothing to do with it.
Is there a press conference today to ask him this question?
Ask the tan man that question. There is a press conference today, and I will ask him if he has anything to do with the meal. Oh, God, it is Godfather's Day.
Valentino's Day.
Valentino's Day.
Did you just say it has been Valentino's since the start of time.
I don't know why I have Godfathers.
You went to Godfathers in your head.
I don't have Godfathers. I have Godfathers in my mind for some reason. It's Val's. It's Val.
Valentino's is in the stadium. It's everywhere at UNL. They pay a lot of money to be that sponsor. They don't.
So.
You dropped a Godfathers on them right now.
Right.
Unbelievable. But
it's Val's.
Well, it was a great football weekend. NFL, college football, but again, we'll get to more of the winners and losers tomorrow in the NFL. And today, with Bills, Thrills, and Head Scratches, we'll get all these massive upsets across the country.
Where did Huntley come from?
He's Utah, right, Bill? Tyler Huntley from Utah? You remember that name there at all or not?
I believe that's accurate, yes.
Tyler Huntley is from Utah. He's been gone for several years, but longtime backup for Lamar Jackson with the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
Who, by the way, was also amazing yesterday in that game. Lamar Bengals-Ravens was... incredible.
What was the final?
Bill told us this year that the Bengals defense, after he saw week one, we lost the Patriots, says the defense is not good. The defense was shredded against the Commanders. It was shredded against the Ravens yesterday. 41 points. 41-38 Baltimore beats the Ravens. Oh, sorry, beats the Bengals yesterday.
Yeah, I saw 38-38.
Bengals are 1-4. 1-4.
Mm.
Not great. Not great, but it was a fun game. All right, that's Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by your friends at Renew. Please call or text David at 402-833-3858 or go to renewyourauto.com. They do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, and more. Renewyourauto.com. 464-5685. Call or text as always. Nebraska football has reached the midway point. Their bye week is here. And Sip, Bill, listeners, they are 5-1, a 14-0 halftime lead. They hold on and win the game 14-7 against Rutgers. And I think the story of the day...
What was that?
...was Nebraska's defense was sensational in this football game.
It was.
It was absolutely sensational. The first two drives, Rutgers actually ran the ball very effectively.
They
did. And then they stopped running the ball in this football game.
It was interesting.
For the most part.
Yeah, it was interesting in the second quarter when they... I guess you, I don't know, Bill, what would Bill say to this? I guess they figured they had the wind at their back. I don't know that they, it was exactly like that, but yeah, they went away. They Rutgers went away from the run. In fact, yeah, they had a first and 10 with 13:23 left in the second quarter. And they threw it. Oh my God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven of the next eight plays. Unbelievable. I was flabbergasted.
I didn't get it because Manungai, the running back, was having success. In the first two drives, he had success running the football. And they just stopped running it.
Right. He did have success. It looked like, well, after the first quarter, he had, I don't know what he had after the first quarter, but they were having a, I can tell you what he had on this, their first possession.
Okay, do that. I'll tell you.
Plus 17, plus 3, plus 15. So right out of the gate, he was, they were rolling. Then they, plus 4, plus 4, plus 4, plus 8, plus 6. Then stop.
They stopped running.
Then stop running.
I didn't get it.
No, I didn't. Well, a win, I think they figured once they got the win, we're going to turn Ethan Kaliakmanis loose on you.
Well, that ended up being 15 for 37 with two picks for Ethan Kaliakmanis. Mm-hmm. How'd that work out for Rutgers? Bill, were you as surprised as I think me and Sip were in the stands that Rutgers just stopped running the football when it was being effective for the first two or three drives?
Yeah, it was alarming. And then,
it's alarming.
Well, it was. I believe that. I mean, when we evaluated Rutgers from the film we had seen was pretty accurate. That the one thing you don't want to put the game into is in the quarterback's hands. He doesn't run it. Yeah. He doesn't keep the ball. And he doesn't throw it well, and he's not a scrambler. And so it just appeared that their one strength they had was their running back. That was the one strength that they had coming into the game. So it wasn't receiver, it wasn't tight end, it wasn't quarterback. And all of a sudden to be able to change that when they obviously wanted to shorten the game also was a little shocking, that's for sure.
Well, there's one thing to say, though. I mean, I'm trying to defend, is it Kirk Shirok? Is that who we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who has had success in the Big Ten Conference in Minnesota.
And they got, you know, their first pass went for 15. Their second pass went for 18. They got it. So they kind of got it going. Now, then there was three completions and four attempts. But their first couple passes got going. They had guys running open. And I think Nebraska was obviously committing a lot to Kyle Manungai. Yeah, so I guess I need to try to understand it a little bit.
Like you said, Sip, he had very good runs the first couple drives. And this is his final stats. Manungai, who was tearing it up early on, 19 carries for 78 yards. Very average.
Yeah, he had 14 yards in his final 11 carries.
So they shut him down a little bit. They stopped trying, though.
But they did a great job on him. I will say that.
They did.
I never, in his final numbers were what again?
19 carries for 78 yards.
Never would have guessed it. Never would have. In fact, Sean Callahan said they'd hold him under 100. I said, you're crazy. There's no way. So.
And his backups, who played well in the past, Samuel Brown, had just three carries for 12 yards.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, the defense has played well the last 2 weeks. And Ty Robinson, and it's not just me talking, guys. Ty Robinson said it at the podium. Ben was there, I'm sure. He said, we were disgusted after the Illinois game as a defense. Kind of embarrassed, he said, right? But the last two games, they have, you know, they were strong. You can say what you want about Rutgers' offense, and it's not very good. But number five is good. He's a good running back.
Manungai.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they shut him down.
I think also you have to mention again the big part of this game was that there's a blocked punt that gets returned back to the 2 yard line.
Oh God, there's a huge
now,
part.
Rutgers began a drive at Nebraska's 2 yard line and did not get any points at all, and didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah,
it could have been a pick six in the play.
And they
on fourth down.
Yeah, and they shut down Manungai in that situation. I mean, first and goal at the 2, Gifford tackled him for a 3 yard loss.
Yep.
Then they withstood up. Singleton holding in the end zone.
Yeah, first and goal back at the 2 yard line.
It was,
again.
Yeah, it was so it was second goal at the 5. Yeah, exactly. So it was back at the 2, and Manungai got one, looked like it almost looked like he got in, but it wasn't challenged. Shiano said he didn't challenge. I didn't know this. There's a lot of crap I don't know. It's amazing. Shiano said he didn't challenge it because he says every play is reviewed and the ref told him he didn't get in. So he said, I'm not going to challenge it in the second half and waste a timeout.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Bill, I'm curious. You know, you've obviously had a lot of many years as a defensive guy and special teams guy. But when you have a defense that has the ball at the 2 yard line and the offense fails to score against them, what does that do for the entire team in terms of galvanizing them in a rough situation?
Yeah, it's a great momentum boost, obviously, and they weren't comfortable. Like one of the plays, I think the first play when they had the negative 3 yards, if I'm correct, I believe they were back in shotgun again.
I think
you're right, Bill.
And it's just one of those things that just baffles me at time when the ball's going 5 yards deep from that line, from the line of scrimmage being at the 2, and all of a sudden they're back that deep. And that's how you get a chance to get a negative play. You would think right away you would be in a quarterback sneak mode from 1st and 2 at the 2 to be able to get yourself closer. But I agree, the play looked very close to him being in. Mm-hmm. And but you know, if the official says, hey, he didn't get in, so if you challenge, you're just wasting your challenge. They kind of let you know that ahead of time like that. But yeah, it's a huge build for the entire team to feel that kind, especially, I mean, that game was extremely tight at that time.
Yeah. And then what happened? Well, first of all, back to that. So after Singleton's, he got called for holding in the end zone. So again, like Jake said, 1st and goal to 2, they stopped Monaghan for 1, stopped him for 0. Then Singleton made a great open field tackle on, I believe it was their tight end.
Right.
He hammered him. So that was a 1 yard loss. And then they went for it on 4th and goal at the 2, and that's the Buford. Buford should have.
Could have been a pick six.
Yeah, it should have been. Six. I mean, I would say it should have been. I'm not being hard on Buford. He was in man coverage, and I guess the first thing in man coverage is the receiver didn't catch the ball, but he should have caught it. But anyway, and then again, Rutgers gets the ball after Nebraska goes 3 and out. Rutgers gets the ball at Nebraska's 28, and once again, they're in business. Rutgers is in business.
They were on Nebraska's side of the field a lot in that game.
Yeah, they were in business.
They just didn't do anything with it.
But on that series, Nash had a sack, and James Williams had a sack. Williams had an incredible day. I mean, he had 2 sacks. He hit the quarterback 3 times. He had 8 hurries. I mean, he was that was sort of, I thought last week he played really well. This week he went to another level.
Nebraska in this game, 9 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. You mentioned there, 2 by James Williams, 1 by Ty Robinson, 1 by Nash Hutmacher. But they're all timely. I mean, Nebraska was in his face all game long.
They were.
Dalek Manis' face.
And you mentioned the punt block that put Rutgers at the 2. From that point on, in the next 2 series, they ran 8 Rutgers ran 8 plays for negative 16 yards. So that's what I mean. That's what you mean, I guess, when you say the defense won the game. They did. Really, it was after that point. But also Buscini was gigantic in the game. But yeah, the defense from that, in the next 16 plays following the block punt that put them at the 2, Rutgers got minus 16 in 8 plays.
This is a game that featured Nebraska having 2 punts blocked. First half, again, it went forward at least. It didn't go backwards on the block.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Early in the game.
True.
And then almost the block punt touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, Sip, and I'm curious what goes through Bill's head when you see your punter in the fourth quarter, deep up on his own 30-yard line, hitting a pass to Jalen Lloyd. Bill, how often do you in practice run a play like that in terms of having your punter or a kicker attempt to pass in special teams preparation?
I wouldn't say overly common. When I was there with Brian, we had that in. But we were throwing a kind of a fade stop down the sideline. So we were headed in to throw it versus normal technique. They just got caught with a really poor plan. They were playing with their two corners as zone players,
mm-hmm.
which meant they weren't carrying the gunners down the field.
Mm.
And so when you see that, it was an easy one, but Brian can throw it really well. And like I said, that fake was in with us, but a different style. We were going to throw, like I said, we were going to throw a fade stop down the sideline because the defender was never easy anticipating a ball being thrown. This was one that was kind of a layup throw because there was no one on him. If you look at on both sides of the field, both corners, they were in a pressure, mm-hmm. and both corners were playing zone. They weren't even they were taught not to take him down the field, and so it was just something from a film study which they had seen mm-hmm. and had that in.
They had seen it, and I don't know. You know, I'm pretty easily fascinated, but Nebraska went out during halftime. Buscini and I guess Lloyd. I'm assuming Lloyd went out there with him, and they practiced it during halftime on the grass fields, which I didn't know you had that much time. I guess you have that much time. And I guess you're out of, nobody's going to see you necessarily. You call it a layup, and I guess it was a layup, but God dang, that pass was beautiful. Like, it hit him perfectly.
It was a great throw.
It was. I was a little freaked out by how easy he made it look. Those guys are, Jake, Bill, we're talking about high-level athletes. I mean, Buscini's a high-level athlete. To stand in there and make that throw like that.
Well, on a day when he'd been getting constant pressure coming at him, oh, by the way.
Yeah, he just gunned it. He just zipped it. It's beautiful. So, yeah, that was a huge... Now, they didn't get anything out of that.
They didn't. Yeah, they didn't score. I mean, again, we haven't talked about the offense because the offense was not great.
Not in the second half.
First half offense was fine. Mm-hmm. 14 points, 200-plus yards. They went cold again in the second half. And here's the thing. We talk about it. We knew at some point a true freshman quarterback, Dylan Raiola, who's been excellent so far, mm-hmm. would have an off game. He had an off game, at least an off second half. His stats for the game, 13 for 27. He's been very efficient in his game so far. This was his first time not being so. 13 for 27 with the pick, 134, sacked four times.
Yeah.
So, they won a game where he didn't play very well.
You're right.
Can do that. It's a team game.
He was in the second. Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Jake. In the second half, these numbers are hard to hear.
Please tell us.
2 for 9 passing for 14 yards and 3 sacks. That's the second half.
And they won that game.
Right.
With those stats, they didn't run the ball great in the second half either.
No.
They didn't do anything offensively in the second half. No, they won.
Yeah, they didn't get much done. 2 for 9. 14 yards and 3 sacks. The Husker offense produced just 45 yards in the third quarter and 10 in the fourth. 10 in the fourth.
10 yards.
And won.
They won the game.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, again, you go back to the defense. And I get it. I know what people are going to say. Rutgers offense is horrible. Purdue's offense is horrible. I guess. I mean, there's that element to every conversation. You can always kind of belittle the competition. But, I mean, we'd probably do that if they played Minnesota and Minnesota beat USC. I mean, I don't go too far with that because these guys are making zillions of dollars and the players are getting paid now.
Yeah, sometimes you also get lucky, and there was a play in the fourth quarter where Rutgers had a wide-open receiver.
Oh, God.
Who fell down?
Buford fell down.
Buford falls down, and I'm in that end zone. That's where I was sitting. I'm like, uh-oh. I got a great view of this play. And this guy just wide open. Nobody on him.
Bill said bounced off his helmet. Bill bounced off his helmet?
Bounced off his helmet. I've never seen it. His hands never even went up. His hands didn't even go up. The ball hit him. The first thing the ball hit was his helmet.
He was
the primary receiver.
Can you lose that ball in the crowd or something? It looks like he lost it to me.
No, I don't even know how you even describe it. I don't know what to say. But it was bizarre. It hit him in the helmet, in perfect stride length. I mean, it was a walk-in touchdown.
It was.
And it hit him in the helmet.
Yeah, that was a good throw.
So that would have made it 14-7, I think, with 10 minutes to go.
You are correct.
Yeah. That would have made it 14-7 with 10 minutes to go. Bill, I think he got his hands up late. That's why I said, that's why I wondered. I don't think he lost it in the sun.
They were up late. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Can you lose that ball in a crowd? I don't know. I don't know. It just looked like he lost it. Bill, you played second base, and sometimes the ball would get a ball lost in the clouds. What's Jason doing outside?
I don't know. Jason's outside.
Yeah.
It could happen. Like you said, his hands came up late, probably because the thing that alerted him to put his hands up was when the ball hit his helmet.
I shouldn't laugh, but yeah.
I think they're surprised they have a wide open pass. What do I do here? Oh, off the helmet, too late. Drop.
Right. So they caught a break.
He got lucky there. But again, Nebraska played very good football in this game and got lucky with one play there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the obvious thing you look at is Monongai. Virginia Tech held him under 100, too. I don't know. He looked good to me. We get to see him live, so you can do some form of evaluation. He wasn't like some of the great backs that have come through here. He's not that.
He's not must see.
No, Bill, he's not.
He's solid. He's solid, but he's not must see.
I would be, like I said, a very Big Ten tough runner. I'd be shocked if he's an NFL player.
Right, and I got a question. A statement, and I wonder if Bill would agree. I thought Ibrahim was much better. I'd say much better.
That Minnesota.
Oh, from defending the two?
Yeah.
I don't think it's even close.
Okay, thank you.
Ibrahim. Yes.
Hear that, Jay?
I love watching Mo. He was great in Minnesota.
Yeah. I thought he was a better back. But this guy's good. And to hold him to 70.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's tough. He's a tough runner.
No, we make fun of Rutgers dropping the open pass and not scoring from the 2-yard line. But that was a good football team. They came at 4-0. They beat Va Tech. They beat Washington.
Yeah. And Washington beat Michigan. I mean, it's...
Right. That's a team that, yeah, it wasn't a very sexy win, 14-7. Defense played great. Offense did not. But that's a team that probably will be in a bowl game. Likely will be in a bowl game.
They benefit from a schedule that's I'd say, surprisingly easy.
Yes.
But you're right. That could be a nine. If you look at their schedule, just go through it. That could be a 9-win team with a bowl win.
Sure.
With a bowl win.
Sure.
They're, like Bill, I think somebody described them last week. They're just a bunch of tough Northeast kids. I mean, they're tough. There's some athleticism. Flip Dixon's an athletic defensive back. They're good up front. And now this is where we got to get Bill his opinion. I don't know what was going on. Bill, they didn't pressure Dylan much. 9 pressures and 32 attempts.
He did have 4 sacks, though.
Right, but they weren't pressuring much. So what were they doing to confuse Dylan? Could you tell, Bill?
It's hard to tell when you're not at the game or seeing, like I said, the big scope for what they're doing in the back end all the time.
Right, right.
We talked about last week that it was very non-Shiano because he must not trust his back end quite as much. And they did, like I said, remember Washington had 540 against him, I think.
Yeah, they did. 521.
But 2 years ago when Nebraska played at Rutgers, they must have pressured him, like 80% of the time. And it was just crazy pressures against Casey Thompson. And so Shiano likes pressure. So I still thought it would be a little bit more this game, and it wasn't. And so obviously like I said, 4 sacks on a non-pressure. I mean, anytime a team has 4 sacks in a game, defensively, they're pretty happy with those numbers. Like, what'd they have total yards? 260 something or 290?
Nebraska?
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll get that for you. Nebraska had total yards, 261.
261.
261, 264 for Rutgers.
261. So with what they're doing, obviously, they would be very happy. Any team would be happy. Those are just great numbers on either side of the ball. And so they'd be happy with that. But no, I couldn't tell exactly. I do know on a couple of the passes that they did hit, they were playing your famous Sipple Tampa 2.
Were they really?
They have played that. Yeah, which they had done that in the past, and you could see them playing that. So it was very close to the vest defensively, but obviously, you know, they held up very well doing that to be able to get that done.
I just couldn't, Bill. I'm not a coach. I can't tell what they're doing in the back end. It just looked like Dylan. Well, there weren't guys running open, in my opinion. Now, one of the radio guys yesterday challenged me on that. Said, "Oh, I think there were. I didn't see a lot of guys running open. I think that's why Dylan was holding the ball at times. I think there was some level of confusion. That's with what Rutgers was doing. That's what it looked like to me, but I couldn't tell what they were doing.
I know they play quite a bit of quarters, and in quarters is a matchup zone.
That's it.
So if you're in a true cover Tampa 2, mm-hmm. then there's going to be holes, and those are zone eyes. Mm-hmm. Quarters is a zone matchup, so it'd be kind of like in basketball, like a matchup zone. So people do match routes in zone quarters, and that also allowed them. And I believe they were playing that for some of the fly sweep runs. I know there was one play. There was a fly sweep early in the game, and or I don't know how early it was, second quarter, maybe like that, where they made a great play. Mm-hmm. I don't know who was carrying the ball, but that was the quarter safety that came up and made the play. I believe it was on Rutgers sideline. And so when you have quarters, you have two available safeties on each side for those perimeter runs.
Okay, Bill. And I do think that was – there was – Rutgers was pretty mindful of Ja'Cory Barney. And I thought Barney just almost became a decoy for Nebraska. And he was – now, he did a good – I don't know if he was a decoy on the Bonner touchdown run, but he made a good block. I think that Bonner – touchdown run, that sweep to Bonner, was kind of a example of a play you run against a team that was so focused on Barney.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. But that was a good play. It was a good play.
That just proves, though, in the first half, you look at their two scoring drives they had. Nebraska went seven plays, 75 yards and 328. And then that drive with the Bonner one, seven plays, 72 yards. They moved the ball effectively in the first
half.
They
were there. Yeah.
They just went completely silent in the second half.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about it. That's what happened.
Do you see more of a Nebraska going conservative offensively, or was that Rutgers changing things up defensively? What was that more of a story in the second half, Bill, from your eyes, in terms of why the offense went quiet?
It's conservative. I would imagine they would probably just say that they being Nebraska, didn't execute well enough. Mm. Because I didn't think Nebraska pulled into a shell. They were still trying to run their offense, do their thing. It probably, from just watching the game from a sports bar in Nashville, mm-hmm. would say that just probably the true running back run game was not as much to for them to feed off of and play action pass and different things. I mean, is that accurate with the run game by the running backs with where they were?
I think in the first, Bill, they're just very inconsistent. The numbers aren't horrible. I mean, Dante Dowdell ran 14 times for 57. Okay. That's 4.1. Ramir had a big run, like a 18 yard run. Now, Emmett Johnson got nothing going. 14 carries, 33 yards. Yards are hard to come by, but I think some of it was their inability to get much push up front and get much done in the run game. I think that's what it was. Now, on that first touchdown drive, they did get some things going in the pass game. They completed a long pass to Barney, right? Number 17.
That was a back shoulder throw that was just beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful by Dylan Raiola.
And then they got, you know, they got a 36-yard pass play to Ramir to start that drive. So then, you know, that gave them first and goal at the 9.
Right.
So they, like Jake said, in the first half they did get some things going. The second half it just got shut down. You know, and it was all on the defense at that point, pretty much. Fake punt was huge because that at least flipped the field.
Yeah, bought you some time, too. Melted a little bit of clock in a close game.
Yeah, you're definitely looking for that. Bought you time and flipped the field. So, and then, of course, we should mention Bushini hammered that 69-yard punt.
I failed to mention that. That was huge.
Yeah, and Maher, Bill, your good friend Maher.
Brett Maher.
Brett Maher told him, look, you can lock down this game right now, right before that punt, if you do this right. And he hit a 69-yarder that rolled to the 11, right?
Yes.
And then Rutgers in that point is in trouble. I mean, they got the ball with two minutes left, 2:13? Check that out. And they're in trouble at that point because it's Cali McManus and the wind's bad. They're going to have to throw. They don't. That's not what they do well. And they just don't have it, that kind of offense.
Yeah, they got the ball back with 2:17 to go. They had ran eight plays. They lost the drive on downs. They only had 15 yards in the play.
Right. So
on the drive, excuse me.
Yeah, the defense bowed up as you'd probably expect in that situation against a very ordinary offense. There's the game. That's it.
Nebraska wins 14-7. It was not pretty, but Nebraska proves they can win a one-score game, a close game. They were up 14-zip, got to 14-7. People got a little concerned in the stands.
As you would expect. Yes.
I was concerned, but Nebraska pulls it out.
Rutgers had all the, not all the momentum, but there was a point late in that game where you thought, oh, okay, here you go, here we go again, right? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Rutgers has momentum. But you had to close it out and get to 5-1. 2-1. Yeah, 2-1. Google me's next. Google me's
after the bye week.
Google me's in all his glory right now.
6-0, Google me.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, like Don Shula right now.
Looks like it. Appears like it. That's a tough game. Before we get to break, I know Bill is not here in Lincoln, but he probably wishes he could have breakfast at a wonderful spot like our friends at Early Bird, right? We were there Tuesday.
Is there an Early Bird in Nashville?
Great food in Nashville. Don't get me wrong, but there's no Early Bird in Nashville.
No.
Breakfast burritos, chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered!
You're in your hotel room.
Yes.
They have a variety of Bill, pancakes.
Yes.
And of course, Sip, Bill, the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
He's doing it from the hotel.
He's kind of muted. He had to mute it a little bit.
I know. I like that. That's fine, though. Please stop by 19th and K. Lots of parking, free parking, also in Omaha and Iowa. And we will be back there again someday for remote
broadcast. How's the setup? How's Bill's setup?
He's at the hotel. I see the curtains. I see the lamp by his bed.
It's dark out. It's very dark here.
That means you're happy, Bill.
How's the weather there? Seriously.
Beautiful. A little warm. It's too warm for me, obviously.
Bill, it gets down at night here. I was thinking about you this morning.
It was chilly last night.
Yeah,
here.
It's chilly. It gets down to like 50 here.
Yeah, I saw this morning it was 41 in Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cold right now. That's why the jacket is on.
It's supposed to be back in the high 80s this week. High
searing
80s.
Heat for you.
Searing.
It's interesting, though, Bill, because it does get super cool at night. So I don't know what to tell you.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
It's got to be a weird week, though. Upper 80s.
Yep.
Weird.
70s, yeah. I think, today and tomorrow. Then I think it's warmer again. When we come back, time for Head Scratchers next on Early Break on the Ticket.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.